Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturer of the finest knife heat treat ovens available. Find your next heat treat oven at evenheat-kiln.com. Welcome to Knife Talk. Now, today's show is going to be awesome because our special guest is Jackie from Built Sharp Knives, a.k.a. the Jackie Awesome, on Instagram, obviously. So welcome to the show, Jackie.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm very good. How are things for you today?
They're good. They're usually pretty nuts, so same as always, I guess.
Cool. Okay. So let's start with an intro. And rather than me do the normal intro, tell us about — this isn't a job interview, but just tell us about yourself.
Okay. Me and Adam make knives for Built Sharp. I just started working in the shop more, and I actually get to make my own knife designs. It's so exciting. So that happened, I guess it's been over a year since I've been in the shop more regularly, 'cause I was doing more of the design and business stuff. Business stuff, not so fun. Website stuff, all the stuff nobody wants to do. A lot of design work, because I'm kind of a nerd computer person. So I really like being in the shop. I get really jealous sometimes. I'm just like, oh, I have like this other really super priority work that has to be done so that we can like have a business and stuff. But I don't want to. I just want to be in the workshop. So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So how does that work with yourself and Adam? So do you both just take on your own projects, or do you both work on the same project at the same time? Or how does that work?
It's kind of a crazy town around here. We we work on everything together, kind of. We kind of try and have a plan. It changes a lot. And we make so many different kinds of knives that it's kind of like, okay, I really want to do a fighter. Okay, like, where's that drawing you did? I liked that one thing. Okay, let's do this. Or like, look at these, you know, we'll like look at stuff together and be like, oh, I really want to do this kind of grind. And then we'll like work it out and all that. So, and then he'll be like, oh, okay, I want to work on this, and I'll have stuff I want to work on. And so we kind of like make a plan because, you know, we can only do so many knives at a time, and you really want to kind of keep on this, on pace with that, because, you know, we're not going to heat treat knives every day. You kind of want to say, okay, we're making these six or whatever, and kind of plan that out. So we're getting our materials and, you know, planning the production out to match up, you know,
so have some sort of process there. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We try really hard to have a process, but it's a little chaotic, you know? Yeah.
Do you have like a standard range that you always have? Like maybe, you know, a certain sort of camp knife or a certain side of hunter knife. Is there anything that you always do, or is every knife completely individual?
We are really working on that, actually. We worked hard to get there. So we have, oh God, I couldn't tell you an exact number. We have like a handful of designs that are now our favorite. And those are pretty much set, although I think I kind of tweak them every time we go to make them. I'm like, oh, you know what? This really would feel better if, you know, if we adjusted the handle like 3 degrees. Like, it really — Adam's always like yelling at me, not yelling at me, but like, we kind of like are like, oh, it's fine. I tend to overwork things. I'm super technical.
Right.
So yeah, we have a handful that we're trying to do more regularly, and then work maybe one or two new things in each time or something.
Okay, cool. So what really got you into this then? So you say you have this
Adam
computery background.
Yeah.
And so Adam's making knives. You're doing your design stuff.
Yeah.
And was it just a case of you just wandering into the workshop more and more and just saying, I need to go.
Oh, no. I was like, not into it. Adam's first workshop was so gross. And he was always trying to get me to go and hang out. And I have like a billion hobbies. I can't help it. So he's like, oh, come, you can work on a painting. I paint. I do stuff. He's like trying to get me to hang out. And I was like, okay. But, you know, I didn't really know anything about what he was working on. I mean, when he was really first getting into it. Mm. So I actually hated it. He'd be like, you hate the workshop. I'm like, no, I don't. But I kind of did. I kind of hated it. And I had a lot of my own priorities going on in my little tech bubble, you know, trying to be, you know, career in tech or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. Did that answer the question?
I think so. I think so. Yeah, yeah. And I think you come from a similar background to myself. So I've been a sort of a web developer for, you know, sort of 18, 19 years before getting into knives. And I think for me, it was a case of, well, I don't know, making things online, which seemed to have a lifespan of not very long. Things were always being changed and updated and so on. And I just had this hankering for making something that was tangible, that you could hold in your hand, and that, you know, just seemed a lot more honest to me. It was a real thing, you know?
Oh my gosh, yes, it's so satisfying.
exactly, yeah. And obviously
making things is addictive. It's addictive. So that's a better answer to your question. I hated it, but then Adam slowly got me involved. You know, he'd be like, oh, hey, will you look at this? Or like, you know, help me out with this. Let's plan this out in the computer.
So he tricked you.
Totally tricked me. Totally tricked me. Yeah, especially when it was like, hey, you should make some money at this. Like that, you know, if anybody wants to know why our knives are expensive, it's me. I did that. I was like, you need to get more money for those things if you want to keep doing this. Because you get into it and then, I don't know, we're always, both of us are like this now. It's always like, oh, you know, if we had this tool or this machine, could do this crazy. Like, we're always thinking of the stuff. So, you know, once you start, it's a dark path down to crazier power tools and more fun stuff.
Yeah, I've got a shopping list the size of my arm. And, you know, each one is like, I could be so much better if I just had that little one thing. I could be so much better with that piece. And, oh, yeah, tell me about it, yeah.
It's like you need a Trello board just to manage your shop wish list.
Exactly. Yep. So you've recently moved shop, haven't you? Your workshop, is that right? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
tell us about that process. What was behind that?
Okay. Well, we were in a garage shop and it was kind of like, felt like we were kind of band-aiding. That's not a word. You know, band-aiding. That's a word now. Okay. Our shop together, you know, you have these tools. We've pretty much put together some of them from scratch. We have some really nice stuff now, but, you know, slowly over time, and things need maintenance, and they don't necessarily like to be in a damp, like, hot workshop with, you know, moisture. So, you know, we want to keep moving forward and make some more technical work, like, we're both super into folding knife design. I'm kind of in love with folding knives now. So honestly, we wanted a bigger space and a better space. And, we were in North Carolina. We were there 2 years. That was our first big move out of Philadelphia. And we decided that we really didn't want to stay there. So it was kind of like, all right, well, then we need to make a really big move. And so we're in Florida because we have family here. So it's like, oh, hey. And we have a 12-year-old. So our boy is in school. And it was just like, you know, the obvious decision hey, we should move near a place where we can have some more support with our daily stuff. Because when you're kind of isolated and there's like a gazillion things going on all the time, it's just really hard to keep the focus and whatever when you have like baseball games and
I can imagine.
I am not a PTO mom or whatever. That's not even what you say. PTO, that's not it. PTA mom.
PTA.
I'm not good at that stuff. I try so hard, but you know. So anyways.
So where you are now, is there much of a knife community there at all?
You know, there are probably, I don't know that many people around this area. But there's a couple guys in Florida that we already know. Love Gavco knives. Like Mike from Gavco Knives, he's awesome. He's in Florida. I don't know.
So there's people around. You're not sort of stuck in your own little bubble there now. At least there's people around who, you know, who understand what you do.
Yeah. I mean, the move was kind of nuts because we actually finished moving all of our stuff 2 days before the hurricane. And we spent all of August basically taking a much larger garage and doing all of the work ourselves to make it more suitable for our dream shop that we're trying to build, you know? So, it was like, please don't come and drown our workshop, Irma. Please don't take it from us, you know? So, we're actually just kind of just getting things rolling. We were actually working on dust collection today. Cause we had a new dust collector. It's amazing, but it's so loud. So we're working on getting it into a shed, like right outside. All the fun things that you kind of have to work around and figure out and just be like, oh, hey, new problem / thing that we need to find a creative design solution for. And that's my favorite. So I don't mind.
Problems.
Yeah. That's cool. Kind of why I love knife making. There's, cool. You think you know something, but you don't. There's always stuff popping up.
Especially with folders, as I found out over the last couple of weeks.
Oh yeah. I loved the Workerman podcast. I was excited when I was like, oh, you make folders. I get really excited about that.
Yeah. He does some really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. So let's talk about your process.
Sure.
Do you do stock removal or do you forge stuff? How do you normally start?
Yeah, stock removal. Really we start in designing, you know, we get excited about some kind of idea or whatever, or, you know, sometimes it's a redesign. So we have our, we have a hunting knife, old rusty. We did a YouTube video series on how to make a knife.
Do you use specific software for that? Because I've always used Illustrator, but I've done on Instagram.
I keep use getting this... Illustrator.
Yeah, I mean,
I love Illustrator.
I do too. Awesome. I do. But on Instagram, I keep seeing the same advert all the time for this knife designing software. I'm trying to think what it's called now. But it keeps popping up all this is one of those promoted ads, you know,
and it's I have not seen it.
It's specifically for designing knives. I haven't given it a try yet. So I was just wondering if you had.
No, I haven't even heard of it. I'd love to know what that is. I think Illustrator can do just way more than you need it to. If you're designing knives, I mean, really, you know, you're looking for the vector. I think most people, you know, don't have any experience with that if they haven't already worked in some kind of field where they're doing that kind of design stuff, you know? So, Illustrator has pretty has a pretty hard learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, it really does.
I think Google Sketch is really good actually for knives. I think it was, Jeremy from Simple Little Life who did a tutorial on YouTube showing how he designs his knives in Google Sketch.
It's just
like a really pared down version of Illustrator, but really nice. You can get your lines right, and it's very, very nice.
I love anything that's super precise like that. Makes life so much easier, you know, especially with the folding knives, where it's just like if you move if you move anything, like the entire thing is basically ruined. You have to not start over, but adjust, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Have you tried doing any sort of CAD stuff at all?
Yeah. So actually, my background in design is actually media arts.
Right.
So I went to school for it and I studied 3D. So I focused on that in college. So I did my senior portfolio. It was 3D modeling. I was going to be a cartoonist or video game person. Anyways, I briefly did that. So I actually love it. And I was trying to get into SolidWorks. I guess it was a couple years back, and we had no purpose for it at all. Like we just didn't, we were nowhere near having anything that would be any kind of tooling that would make that a valuable skill, but I was super interested in it. But there was just not enough time allowance for it. So kind of let it go. And now I'm super excited because Fusion 360 is kind of awesome. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that more. We just got a Surface Grinder. I don't know if you saw it on my Instagram, but
I did. Yeah.
We are on our way. We are on our way. So definitely going to be getting into CAD a lot more coming up. Probably not going to happen until after Christmas stuff goes out, because that's what we're really focusing on right now. We get a lot of emails like the beginning of December, like, hey, can you make this for Christmas? We're like, nah, you should email us in like October for that. So we're really trying to get ahead of that and get stuff ready for Christmas. Yeah. We have a new thing we're going to launch soon. I worked on it, and it's actually there. I think it's the link in my Instagram, but there's like a test. I'm doing a custom knife, like an order form.
I did see. So yes.
Did you see?
So you can pick the handle materials and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool.
I think
cool.
It's a little buggy still. We're working on it. So, that's what we want to do for our orders. So, you know, kind of be able to open up our books have been closed for a very long time. And we want to do that, get that going. So that's super exciting. So probably no CAD until after that stuff, because we won't be designing new products for the custom order.
Yeah.
I just won't be able to handle the design load and the production load. It's literally like two jobs.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So yeah, I'm one person. So, you know.
And how do you feel about sort of customer commissions? Because, I mean, for myself, they're a necessary evil. So obviously most of my work is commission stuff. But yeah. I have the most fun on doing the stuff that sort of goes online that I make, then I put up to sell. Because then I make all the decisions and I say what the materials are going to be, how it's going to look, and then hopefully somebody will buy it, you know? Whereas, you know, the typical commission is I'd like this style of knife in, you know, that handle material and so on. So I'm trying to do more personally of the, you know, of my own builds and try to sell them. But it's always hard to keep away from the commissions. So how do you do that? How do you put your own creativity into a customer's commission?
Oh my goodness. That's such a loaded question. Well, a couple years back, we pretty much did all commission. Because it was kind of like, I mean, we were both working. And so it was kind of like, okay, people want this thing or that thing. Cool. And then we would be able to get a deposit and get the materials or get the tool that we didn't have or that would make life easier, you know? So you were kind of forced to do them, but I guess that's like the first capacity that I really came into Build Sharp actually would be the custom orders, because Adam just couldn't handle the custom order stuff and keeping track of that. And also, you know, working the shop, he actually had, I've told this story to a couple of friends, so forgive me if you've heard this, but he had a notebook with like Sharpie written, like people's names and what they wanted. And I was like, have you heard of a spreadsheet? Like, this is not acceptable. So, you know, helping him out with that and fielding the emails and talking to people. And that taught me a lot about knives, because I really didn't know anything. So it was like every email I had to consult, you know, but that really taught me a lot to be able to talk through those things with him and do some of my own research to help designing the knives. And we would design the actual, like we were designing like actual profiles and everything versus you know, what kind of colors you wanted or what kind of materials were great. So, it was like, I'm designing a brand new knife every client, which we had to stop doing that because, at first it was the only way to build the business, was to take those orders. But then after a while, it almost was hurting us because we both realized, you know, it just was taking all of our time and energy, you know, working late at night after work to, you know, whatever. And then honestly, I think it's okay to say no to people. It's really hard, but, you know, if you just talk to some people about what they're looking for. I mean, it's not that hard to tell when you're going to have somebody that's is going to be very difficult. Like I've just worked with some people that are just amazing, and you know that they know what they like and know what they want, but you can tell that they like your work and they respect your work, and whatever you send them, they're going to love it. Hmm. And then there's people that I've worked with that it's like, oh my goodness. Like, it doesn't matter what we send them. They're going to hate it. And I just know they're going to hate it. Like, this is terrible. So, we actually started to, I guess we were really lucky that we had that much of a demand. Just like had to start saying no to people, and then putting out our kind of, I guess what you were saying, putting out the pieces that, Adam was producing them. So, you know, he would work on some fun thing he wanted to make, and then we'd put that out, alongside of some of the custom things, and those were selling. So we kind of just slowly transitioned, and we had a wait list going for a really long time. And mostly like repeat customers. Like, there's so many awesome people that we've worked with that are just customers that, you know, are totally responsible for us being able to do this. They started our business. So, thanks guys. I kind of ramble. So pull me back. What are we talking about?
That's fine. That's completely fine. So what drives your sales now? Do you advertise? Do you do knife shows? Is it purely from the website and from the likes of Instagram? Where are your customers coming from?
Definitely Instagram and the website. Mm. I haven't mastered the data analysis side of websites, and I don't think I ever want to. I'm hoping to someday make enough money to pay someone else to do that. So I think, you know, definitely Instagram's so great. Like, definitely Instagram. And we have a newsletter. We've always had that. I think that's pretty standard. So anytime we finish stuff up, we put it up on the website and send the newsletter out. But we don't make that much stuff, so it usually all sells within a very short period of time. And I think the newsletter is key. got to have the newsletter, because people are not thinking about you night and day, you know?
And why, why the hell aren't they?
I know. It's like, don't you realize that your life revolves around when I finish some work that you could buy? Like, why aren't you totally waiting for me at 3 a.m. to put my new knives out? So, yeah, so I think the newsletter is key so that people don't have to think about you. So they don't want to. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. We're not really advertising, but knife show though, blade show is awesome in Atlanta. This is our second year. We just went and it's so good. It's the only one I've been to. We used to do like farmers markets and stuff years ago and they're terrible. You don't make any money, but that's not the terrible part. The terrible part is like the kids that like come by and you're like, oh my God, please don't like cut yourself. And your mother's going to like lose her mind. And you're kind of like, oh my God. So, and you don't make any money. Yeah. So,
I've done that kind of thing. And I think I spent most of my time trying to sort of justify prices and say, you know, this thing took days to make. And everybody's like, well, you can buy one for, you know, 10 euros in the local supermarket. You know, it's like, ah. It's not the same thing.
Sure. Yeah. Like, okay, well, then you should do that. Like,
exactly.
That's my answer. I'm like, oh, my gosh, maybe I'll run down there and get one. Thanks for telling me. Yeah, I hate them. But Blade Show's awesome. It's so good. I love it. And if you go, I'll be there next year and we can hang out for sure.
Let's talk about one of our sponsors, Tormach. To get great razor sharp and repeatable edges, you're going to need a Tormach. To find out more, go to tormach.com, which is T-O-R-M-E-K.com. Okay, let's get back to the show. So let's go back to process for a little second.
Okay.
So how does it work with the two of you? I mean, particularly being, you know, a real partnership too, because I know, you know, I work at home and my wife works at home too, but we both have our separate spaces. So I have the workshop and she has her office. So I can't imagine what it'd be like the two of us in a small, confined space for so long.
Oh, my gosh.
How does that work?
Sometimes I'm just like, I just need to not look at you for a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Adam's awesome. Yeah, we fight. We fight a lot about things. It's hilarious, really. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. It just does.
But
like
with regard to sort of the workload, how is that split? How do you sort of do you both take, you know, your favorite bits, or do you change things up?
Oh,
how does that work?
Well, I mean, it's an all hands on deck situation over here, you know. So it's kind of like really about not even whose favorite thing or, you know, whatever. It's kind of more about, okay, what's the priority today? Who's available and is the best person to be doing it? And then that's kind of like when we're in a hustle, and then there's other times where there's nothing's burning the door down that we have to finish. And it's more about exploration, and we're kind of working together on a new process or a new thing. So, so when we're like in a production and we've got to get something done, and we give ourselves our own internal deadlines, like, okay, we're going to have these done on Friday. That means we have to have, you know, all these shaped out by this day, and we have to have heat treat on this day or whatever. You know, it's really more about like the daily, hey, what's our priority? Okay. What are you doing? What am I doing? Okay. And then, you know, touching base throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So what is your favorite part about making a knife? And again, your least favorite part?
I really like all of it right now. So Adam's training me. So the only thing that he doesn't let me do, he has not yet let me do, is grinding bevels. So I'm a little anxious to get to that, but mostly because we really wanted to get our stuff moved and cleaned up a little bit. So the flat platen, which I was like, it's the flat plate. He's like, that's not what it is. It's a platen. I'm like, okay. I was like, I didn't know that. I will Google it. so we really need to get flattened. It wasn't quite flat. And there was just like, okay, well, just work within these areas. But, you know, he just kind of didn't trust me to be on there. And I need to get some practice in on it. So I'm kind of excited about getting to that. So that's the only thing I haven't really gotten an opportunity to do. But honestly, every time I think about it, I just start thinking about different ways to make other tools to put onto our tools to make that better. So yes. I'm probably going to end up designing some jigs. and we talk about stuff like that all the time too. So I'm a little bit with the ADHD over here as far as which things I'm doing. I mean, I don't know. I love the handles. I think everybody loves the handles. You know, I guess that's the fun, getting to pick all the materials. And I don't know, anytime I can do anything that's different than last thing or more interesting or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the least favorite? There must be something that you just dread doing. You're like, oh, man, really?
Something I dread doing? I don't know. I don't really dread any of that. I mean, as far knife make, I love it. I love it. I don't really dread any of it. I don't mind the hard work. I really love it. I sat behind a desk for a really long time, so I love it. Like, the stuff I dread doing is like accounting, you know,
like yes, ordering stuff. The boring stuff.
Calling. Yeah. Like, nobody wants to do, like, I dread that. I'm like, ugh, you know, but I honestly don't really dread any of it. Like, I'm pretty much excited. Unless I'm tired. I mean, like, who wants to work when they're exhausted or whatever, or if it's like super hot or, you know, oh, our other workshop, you know, we have air conditioning. Feel free to be jealous in our workshop. I don't know how many knife makers have that. Probably.
Well, you're in Florida, so you need it. I mean, where I am, I know, we don't necessarily need air conditioning.
Yeah, I know. But like in the summer in North Carolina, in our garage, where you're just like, it's just so hot, like the feeling of sweat dripping into your mask is pretty gross.
And it's pretty corrosive on steel too, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, maybe I dread that, but I don't really have to worry about it anymore. I'm not lying, I swear. I can't think of anything terrible. I guess, I don't know. Even like I just cleaned the mill, like
You couldn't have enjoyed doing that.
No, I did. It needed it.
You never freak.
Like have something that you love. Like, I know objects aren't like people, but like it has a personality to me. And it's just like, I'm literally like scrubbing this thing down with oil, you know? And I'm like, oh, it's like, it's seriously like, I think I called it spa day, like on my hashtag or whatever. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just maintaining it and knowing you're taking care of this thing that it treats me really well. So I'm treating it really well because it deserves it, you know? And it's just like, I'm happy to do it. I'm like, I want it to run well and I want it to be happy.
You seem to enjoy kit as much as I do. So what is on this shopping list, this dream list of yours?
I want a CNC machine. Like, yesterday, I want a CNC machine. I want one of those lasers that everybody's so into. Oh my God.
Man, yeah.
I can't even like prioritize. I just want all of the stuff yesterday, you know? So yeah, definitely want to get some kind of CNC going on ASAP. You know,
I think I'd love one, but I just think the learning curve would just be so, it would just take me out for so long, you know?
Part of the expense. They're expensive, but also you gotta learn how to use them. Exactly. So it's not really in the near future, but it's on the list for sure.
Okay, so I think we're getting close there. I think we know what you like, which is everything. What you don't like, which isn't much.
Yeah.
And you've got this big shopping list, which I think everybody has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So what's the dream? What's in, you know, in 5 years' time, what are you going to be doing with knives?
Oh my gosh. I feel like everybody on the internet's going to hate me. I want to like have a, I don't know if Adam and I are on the same page with this, but I would like to, I don't want to do every single thing, you know. I think it would be really great to have some employees, you know. I would like to have a small team of people that did the website, marketing, whatever, sales, all that stuff, and have kind of a more, I guess, more production style workshop, which we're getting to. Like, I mean, I'm not talking like a huge team. I'm saying like a couple people to work with to break some stuff up so we can, I don't know, make more knives. I don't know. I have like a bunch of different ideas. I know. Okay. Here's a good one. Okay. We've always loved this. I would love to have a very small storefront area thing. I don't know, like maybe appointment only at first, but eventually like a storefront, and then hire a very nice person to work in it so that I don't have to. And I would love it if when you came in the store, you could see the workshop, you know?
Okay. Right? I'm going to stop you there a second, because that is exactly what I've been talking about this week. So Well, I'm really lucky. Where we've moved, we actually have an old jewelry store below the house, because we're on a bit of a high street in a little village here. So at the moment, my workshop is in that jewelry store. So every time people are passing, they've got their head in the window and they're wondering what the hell is this guy doing?
Awesome.
So, yeah, I've been trying to persuade my wife this week that this we need to open this as a store. So just have...
Oh, my God, just do it.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, appointment only. So I can work there all the time, but appointment only, people can come in, they can choose a knife which is already made, they can see me making it, and I can sort of talk them through the process. So, yeah. I'm completely with you with that.
I would love that. Everybody asks us if they can like come to our shop or whatever, you know, or where are you located? You know, they want to come by, or where's your store? Where are your knives carried?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I totally understand that. I actually really like people. That's, you know what? That's the hard thing. You're like, what don't you like? The thing I don't like, I like people. So just being me and Adam day in and day out as a workplace and being at home, you know, I get kind of crazy. I'm like, yo, we need to go do a fun thing out where there's civilization and people and stuff. Like, I need that. I gotta get out of here. So, yes, you should open that store, because it'd be awesome.
The one problem we have, we're in this little French village, so we have a lot of old French pensioners. They'd be in here every day, and they'd be just chatting away. I'd get no work done whatsoever. They'd be bringing in coffee and croissants, so that would be the issue.
You got to have the appointment only thing, exactly. You know,
exactly,
or like put hours. I was thinking, right? So if you did that, and then on the window, you could just say, you know, appointment only these hours, you know, and put it on the site or whatever. And that way people at least know, oh, okay, here are the windows, and then they can adjust their schedule. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to be adding on top of your workload, trying to work your production schedule and whatever else around other people's schedules. And like, man, I hate scheduling things, you know? So just like those, block out those times. And then people can just call and be like, hey, do you have this open next week? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's got to be the way. It's got to be the way forward, I'm sure. I'm sure of it. So I think we're pretty much there with regards to the interview. But I'm going to wrap up with the same final question that I ask everybody.
Okay. Our interview was so much longer than everybody else's. Oh, my God. Sorry.
It's fine. It's completely – I could talk all day. That's my problem. But People generally zone out to podcasts after about half an hour.
Yeah, seriously.
So I'm going to wrap up with this final question about all those sort of resources that are out there. And I suppose it's slightly different for you because you're working as a pair, so you've always got this resource on hand. But where do you learn stuff and where do you find inspiration?
Oh, my gosh.
And everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
From whom, too?
Well, Google's the most amazing thing ever. So I basically look everything up. And although I do have a really good resource right there, Adam goes crazy because I question everything he does all the time. And I often will look up somebody else's stuff and be like, well, so-and-so. This is when I'm supposed to come up with name drop. Half the time, sometimes I find information or videos about a very specific thing that I'm trying to work into a design or work into my whatever I'm doing. And I don't even know who it was, So I don't know. I feel like I'm on the spot. what do I look at? I don't know.
So even on Instagram, who are the people that you're following that you think is doing amazing work at the moment and God. That sort of inspire you?
Yeah, I follow a lot of people on the internet. I really like people who are – I like their work, but then also they're, awesome people, you know, and they will talk to you and, you kind of got these relationships. Sean Hatcher, I love him. Adam's been following him since forever, pretty much learned how to grind from watching his videos. So definitely Hatcher. We have a bunch of buddies that kind of, it's weird. It's following them on the internet and then hey, let's go meet this person and make them be our friend. Zoe Christ, they're really, Zoe and Shio are so awesome. Zoe Christ Damascus. I don't know if you've heard of them. They were actually in North Carolina by us. So that was amazing to get to hang out with them, and get to do some, get Damascus from them. We get to do some Damascus pieces and,
what's your thought on Damascus?
Oh my God, it's so cool. oh, it's so good. I have actually one of the friction folder designs that I have been doing. I have one in Damascus that I've been waiting to do, but we didn't have a surface grinder and it's kind of too thick and I need to take it down and it has to be the right size of the backspacer, which is also from the same piece of Damascus. So I've been patiently waiting. It'll be the last one of those designs I do because I have updates and new stuff, but I wanted to finish out the batch that I have. So I love it. I think it's awesome. I would love to be able to do that kind of work, but I probably won't ever get an opportunity. It's kind of more a fun thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Stonewood. Do you know Stonewood
I
Designs?
I don't know.
Oh man, they're so awesome. He does. I think they're husband and wife team. I might be pulling this out of nowhere, but I want to say they used to do jewelry or something because their stuff is just so intricate, tiny little pieces. They do just really cool. I don't know. I'm how do they do that? Adam's by hand with a Dremel, probably. I don't know. It's so awesome, Stonewood's really cool. And then the folders, I've been really getting into the folders. I really love Gabco. I mentioned him. He's probably the first folding knives that I started really checking out. I was oh, these are sweet. That's awesome. And he has a, I don't know if he still has it. I'm sure he does. He did a video, you can buy it, a DVD So I got a DVD. Yeah, you can buy a DVD. It's like, it's this. Okay, so it's round and shiny.
Wow.
And you actually can put it into your computer if you still have a DVD drive. And oh my gosh, I learned so much from that. And a book, and a couple books. Like, the folding knife design is really difficult. It was like really difficult for me to get my head around it. And it definitely took some book learning, like real book, like a real book with paper on it. I'm serious. I opened a book. It was crazy. And Todd Begg, I really like his folders a lot. Grimsmo is awesome. John and Eric, like their knives are really awesome. And like, they're really cool dudes and their YouTube channel is awesome.
Send over a list of these people and we can make sure we've got, I can make sure I've got links to them on the site. And yeah. I always just find it really interesting just asking people where they find inspiration, because I find lots of really new cool people to follow. And, you know, it's just really nice to, you know, just see other people's work that other people respect.
Oh my gosh. I saw like 100 knife makers probably, or like even just like artists, like painting and digital art and sculpture and just, like, I'll just people that make stuff, like, I love them. Like, so many things are just so much better when someone has come up with a better way to do it instead of just some garbage they're marketing to you, you know?
So where can people find you online? Or where is it? What's the website and what's your Instagram handle? And what's the rest of it?
I'm the Jackie Awesome on Instagram, because apparently someone else is Jackie Awesome already. And, builtsharp.com, B-I-L-T, like built without a U. So Built Sharp. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm on the internet, guys.
And if people want to get hold of any of your knives, what's the best way? Is that to get on your list?
Yeah, get on the email list. Yeah. We have not like broken it up to the different kind. I'd like to do that. I know not everybody wants folders, and we do actually. We have a brand new kitchen knife line that I forgot that I just worked on, that we're about to finish the first ones. But anyways, so we have those coming out, guys. So we don't have it broken up. You'll get an email that has like all of the different ones. But yeah, that emailer, if you want to get a knife, definitely get on the emailer. And but hopefully you'll be able to order one, which we haven't had recently. We haven't had that. So you should, you know, be able to order a knife from our website, and that'll be really cool.
Cool. So that's builtsharp.com without the U, BILTSharp.com, or the Jackie Awesome on Instagram. Great stuff. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jackie, for taking the time out.
Yeah.
It's been really
great
to speak with you. And hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Thank you so much.